आईडेंटिटी कार्ड इज अलाउ एंट्री टू ऑल, फिर क्या फायदा खड़े इधर? क्राउड कंट्रोल, हमने अभी एडिट क्राउड क्या है, क्राउड कंट्रोल, सो समटाइम्स दे टेल यू राइट ओके मेक श्योर दिस दिस पीपल डोंट वीआईपी कम्स विद पासेस दे अलाउ, दे गिव यू सम इंस्ट्रक्शन, दे टेल यू टू स्टैंड एट द डोर, नाउ दे टेल अलाउ एवरीवन इनसाइड. फिर सोचे मेरे को क्या फायदा फिर, व्हाई डू हैव टू स्टैंड देयर इफ एवरीवन इज अलाउड, व्हाई एम आई हैव टू स्टैंड देयर, अंडरस्टैंड? सो दिस जय विजय इज प्रॉब्लम नाउ, इट्स नॉट देयर प्रॉब्लम बट इज द सिचुएशन विच इज आवर प्रॉब्लम. सो जय विजय सो एक्सॉल्टेड, the devotees of the Lord, they said, if it pleases Krishna, I will do it. However redundant it is, however simple it is, however menial it is, however not so important it is, however non-spotlight it is. Our nature is that we want spotlight. We want the spotlight services. Oh Prabhuji, please, you lead the kirtan. Okay, no problem. But when someone else is leading, difficult for us to follow, difficult for us to participate. But when I'm leading, okay? So like that, so many other things also may come. Prabhuji, you be the in charge. So we're always looking for spotlight. But the Vaikuntha atmosphere, as we saw that few verses, between the bees and the animals and the plants, right, birds. The mood in Vaikuntha is that always one servant, take a step back. No one wants spotlight. Any service that pleases Krishna, let me do it. It's okay. Big or small, doesn't matter. This verse shows that Jay and Vijay were given a redundant service. They were given a redundant service. But still, they were pleased, knowing that it will give Krishna pleasure. So this is tough in the material world. Everyone looks for some purpose. But the only one purpose, please Krishna. So, this word is used in Sanskrit. Ko, ko va, who is there? Atmavat kuhakayo. You see the last line of the Sanskrit? Ko va atmavat kuhakayo. So the Chatur Kumaras, they are thinking, these people, you know that phrase, atmavat manyate jagat. Atmavat manyate jagat. That means you see the world how you are. You perceive the world based on yourself. I say, hey, why this person is so envious? Because it's my quality only. For example, if a person is walking around and then suddenly he put his hand in his pocket and you hear some plastic sound and he's going to his locker. Oh. So you think he must have some Mahaprasad in his pocket. He's going to his locker, he's putting... Right. His first thing, he must have edible. Why? Because that is what our nature is. Atmavan manyate jagat. What you are, that's what you think the world is around you. You are suspicious. Or for example, someone is maybe in the office and he's using the computer like this. Right? So what's inside, that only will reflect on others. You will judge others based on your own perception. So this case we saw in Indra when he judged Krishna, right, in the hand-packed husband, in this Govardhan episode. So Krishna, when he advised Nanda Baba that stop doing this Indra Puja, let's do Govardhan Puja. So Indra said, my God, see this boy, see this cowherd community, they are proud. They are proud because of their opulence. They are so rich, so they are ungrateful now. But actually, Indra was saying that's what them, but actually that is what Indra was. Indra was proud of his opulence as Indra. So he saw everyone else as proud. So this is an important lesson, that if we start to judge others, okay, I think, and that judging will never come out externally. That judging always happens in the mind. The judging won't come out verbally, usually. It always happens in the mind. Look at him, so lazy, sleeping. Because maybe we like to sleep. So Atmavan manyate jagat. So here they are saying, so ko vatmavat kuhakayo, they must be envious, therefore they think that others are also envious. Okay. Purport, Prabhupada writes that when a soul is fully liberated, when a soul becomes a jivan mukta, he has 79% of all good qualities. What is this? 79% of all good qualities? Why not 80? 79? So this is the 50 qualities out of 64. Krishna has 64 qualities, and Jiva at max, Brahma, has all 50 in full. But all of us living entities have the potency to get 50 qualities. But we have 50, but they're not fully exhibited. They're only fully exhibited in Brahma. So when we become pure, when we become liberated, still we'll only at the max have how many qualities? Huh? 36? No, that's Vaishnav qualities. This is the, 64 qualities of Krishna? 64 qualities of Krishna, right? And maximum Jiva, Narayan has how many qualities? 60. Shiva has how many qualities? 55. And Jivas have how many qualities? Including Brahma? 50. So when we become, go back home, back to Godhead, will we have 50 qualities or 64 qualities? 50. Only 50. 64 is only for Shyam Sundar Krishna, not even Narayan. What are the 4 extra qualities that Krishna has? Okay, just checking. Right? So, so same thing Prabhupada writes in this purport, which we have discussed. We'll proceed further. Okay, then the next. So, after the analysis, text 33. Some question? So after the analysis, text 33, they'll again start to think. So they say, in the Vaikuntha world, there is complete harmony between the residents and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as there is complete harmony within the space between the big and small sky. Why is then a seed of fear in the field of harmony? Now you may see, where is fear? Okay, let's read on. These two persons are dressed like the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, but where form can their disharmony come into existence? So it is a very tough service, no? If you are especially security. Security service is a very tough service. I give this example just recently, 3 weeks ago. So some person comes and I'm in the ashram upstairs and I hear someone shouting so much from our reception building. So it was very, so much shouting actually, throwing words and all. So immediately I came down and I went to the reception to see what's wrong. And then he's actually, that person had booked a room when he had brought his dog. So we don't allow people to bring dogs. But somehow or other, miscommunication, we didn't realize in his email he wrote that I have a dog. Little mistake on our side. So that person comes in and he starts shouting like anything. You made me travel all the way. Now I came here and now you're saying I cannot bring my dog. And he's screaming and screaming. So who is this guy? Big tough guy, old man, shouting so loud from reception right till ashram. You can hear fully what he's saying. Bhagawan ka aadmi hai, Bhagawan ka log hai. You're God's people, you're God this time. What you're doing, this, that, boom, boom, boom. Shouting. It becomes so third class. Later I found out he was a retired Navy man. Some Navy commander or something. Big position. So by default he shouts, na? Navy means speaking, by default means shouting. So he screamed like anything. And then our reception people, what to do? So it's a tough call, you know, to have that kind of duty. So this, why he took out the name Bhagawan ka, Bhagawan ka, Bhagawan, why so many times? Because all the reception people, tilak, and all you see everywhere around you, dhoti kurta. So he felt embarrassed. That I came already, then you said no. I felt very embarrassed. So he starts shouting, hey, what are you, you're God's people, you're all religious people, how can you do like this? Why you're having so envious? Why? He felt like that. So immediately he took that name, because that is not expected. So similarly, another incident happened at our Vrindavan gate here. Okay? So Gaurang Bru was giving a Bhagavad Sapta, and one very big man from Bombay, he came to here, all the way from Bombay he travelled. He came into our GV gate. Everything was going around. Sapta had started. He just saw everybody around. So he sat in the electrical vehicle. And the electric vehicle moved on. He didn't ask anyone. He didn't know anything. He just sat in the gadi went up. And as the gadi was going up, what happens in Vrindavan Forest Gate? सिक्योरिटी को ना रुका दिया, बैंड किधर है? सोचे क्या बैंड है, बैंड किधर है आपका? इसे बैंड नहीं है। सो सिक्योरिटी पर्सन से, आई एम सॉरी, यू हैव टू गेट डाउन, अदर पैसेंजर्स कैन गो, यू हैव टू गो टू द रिसेप्शन एंड गेट अ बैंड। सो व्हाट हैपेंड टू दिस मैन? फ्रॉम द वृंदावन फॉरेस्ट गेट राइट टू रिसेप्शन, फ्यूमिंग, वाह वाह वाह, मेकिंग सो मच नॉइज, शाउटिंग शाउटिंग शाउटिंग, गो टू द बैक टू रिसेप्शन, ही शाउटिंग, ही ब्लास्ट द रिसेप्शन पीपल, यू ऑल आर सो स्टूपिड, यू ऑल आर सो फूलिश, can't you tell me when I sat in the vehicle that I needed a band? Why did you have to bring me all the way there just to leave me there? Izzat ka sawal. Basically, he felt ego. He was hurt that he had to walk back all the way down. Shouted, I came all the way to listen to Bhagavad Sapta just to hear from Gauranga Das, Prabhuji, and you doing like this. Why you guys are doing like this? Huh? You all are devotees? Immediately catch where? Devotee. So similarly, here Kumaras are doing the same thing. You are serving Vishnu, staying in Vaikuntha, wearing the Vaikuntha attire. How can you be envious? Immediately catch him from his, what they are representing. How tough it is. Right? Tough, not? What do you think? Very difficult. Immediately catch, huh? Like Vidyapit students. Any mistake you do? Hey, Vidyapit. Kya sikhai nahi kya Vidyapit mein? What do you think? Correct, na? You walk anywhere, you sit down, anything. Just even nothing to do with studies also. Immediately they catch you. Hey, Vidyapit students, this thing all they never teach you in Vidyapit, is it? Of course. They, right. So it happens. Immediately everyone is labeled. So it is that nature we have to accept and understand and tolerate. See, Kumara is getting angry also. So let's move on. Actually, beautiful sentence comes. So he says this, they say this one word, where has this seed of fear come in? Harmony. Why? So fear is the most prominent emotion in the material world. What are the four emotions that you experience? What are the four natures? Common nature in the world? Ahara, Nidra, Bhayam, Maitunam. These four is by default in the material world. Everyone works on these four impulses. Of these four impulses, fear is the strongest impulse. It's the most predominating impulse. Anyone does anything, it's out of fear only. I fear the prasadam is going to be finished. I fear I might come late for class. I fear today Himrup Prabhu might come and ask, have you all wrote your open book test? Huh? No? I fear sloka exam. Fear so many things. Fear I might wake up late for Mangalarti. So fear is the most predominant emotion in the material world. So that's what they're saying. Even if a person gets angry, behind anger is fear. If a person gets angry, behind anger is fear. Fear that I'm not respected. So the person, such as those two examples I gave you, bursts out. So it's very sad, but let's see. So this purport, Prabhupada writes very nice, some things we are discussing. In the second paragraph, Prabhupada writes, second paragraph of the purport, in the Vaikuntha world, there is no disharmony between the Lord and the residents. Therefore, God's creation in the Vaikuntha world is perfect. There is no cause of fear. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 18, prayers to the residents of Jambudvip. So there, Prahlad Maharaj also prays. Right? In the fifth canto there, he prays, that may all the envious people become pacified by performing bhakti. Swasti astu vishvasha kala prasidatam. Swasti astu vishvasha kala prasidatam. That let all the envious people become pacified by doing bhakti. So in there, kala. Kala means snake sometimes. Kala means envy also. In that verse, 518 something, Prabhupada writes the word to word. He writes, kala. Envious, bracket, 99% of almost everyone. He writes, almost 99%, almost everyone. That means everybody is envious. So Prabhupada gives a purport in the word to word. He gives a purport in the word to word translation itself. It happens, no? Sometimes, see, Prabhupada adds here, he describes. So here, the material world is classified by fear which comes also from a envious. Envy is ultimately the seed. So in the material, in the spiritual world, no such thing is there. So they use this analogy of a big sky and small sky. So Prabhupada writes this in the third paragraph. The example of the big sky and the small sky is also applicable within a person's body. The big sky is the body itself, and the intestines and other parts occupy the smaller sky. Each and every part of the body has individuality, even though occupying a small part of the total body. So if you take the total body to be a big sky, and every pocket, every organ, your liver is in one place, your kidney is in one place, your intestines in one place, it has its own space. Okay? For example, in this Govind Villa, which is like the big sky, there's one room behind, which is like the small sky, which some devotees have made their bhajan kutir space. So they are space of the bigger sky. Small sky is part of the big sky, like that, in the totality. So then basically the idea is that the whole creation is the body of the Supreme Lord, and we are just like small sky, small parts of that big creation. Right, part and parcel, that's the meaning of part and parcel. So and then that's the purport. Prabhupada talks also about the principle of fear in the material world, as well as harmony in the spiritual world. Now we'd like to just discuss this last section of the purport. Prabhupada writes a prediction. So he says, in the spiritual world, this religious principle of Krishna consciousness is maintained in harmony, and therefore the world is called Vaikuntha. If the same principle can be adopted here means where? Material world. Wholly or partially, either fully or thoda bahut, then there is also Vaikuntha. So it is with any society, so proper broad-mindedness, it is with any society such as the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. So he's so broad-minded. He's saying not only ISKCON, that means, so some devotees say ISKCON is the east or west, ISKCON is the best. ISKCON is the only path. Is that right or is that wrong? Wrong. That's being Christians and Muslims. This is the only path. There's no only path. There's many paths. We are one of the bona fide paths. So Sri Prabhupada is saying, so broad-minded, it is with any society such as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, instruction to members. If the members of ISKCON, putting faith in Krishna as the center, live in harmony according to the order and principles of Bhagavad Gita, then they are living in Vaikuntha, not in this material world. So how to live in Vaikuntha while living in the material world? What is the instructions of the founder Acharya? Keep Krishna in center. That itself is a very big principle. Keeping Krishna in center means seeing everything in connection to Krishna. Not only seeing everything, seeing everyone. Seeing everything and everyone in connection with Krishna. What he can do, what she can do, what they can do for Krishna. Big or small, it doesn't matter. But everyone has to be properly situated. Then they'll be happy. If everyone is properly situated, they will be happy. So, that is called putting Krishna in the center. Then live harmony according to the order and principles of Bhagavad Gita. So that's the principles of spiritual life. Then we can live in harmony. Else, there'll always be exploitation. Exploitation of people, exploitation of resources. Then we are living in Vaikuntha. So practical tip, how to live in this world, but not of this world. There's a saying in the Bible, live in this world, but not of this world. That means you live in this world. We have to live in this world, but don't become worldly. Live in the material world, but don't become materialistic. There's a difference, na? Living in the material world and becoming materialistic. So live in this world, but not of this world. That is what the Bible also says. That we are existing in this world, but do not become materialistic. Text 34. Someone can read the translation.
Let us consider how these two contaminate persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them.
Apt means? The punishment should be apt. Means? Fitting. The punishment should be apt, perfect. Fitting. Okay, continue.
Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies.
So, now, see, this whole two verses, they are just thinking, analysis. So, this is nature of a muni. They didn't immediately burst out and shout and throw bad words or scold or anything. They start thinking, why is this happening? So, another lesson we learn, when we are faced with some difficulties, either someone is shouting in our face or someone has insulted us or something bad has happened, first analyze, why is this happening to me? Yesterday one doctor came. So he was talking to me. He's a grihastha doctor. So he's saying, Are Prabhuji, I have so much difficulty in my office. The other day, I earned 10,000 in the morning itself, morning hours, by seeing patients. I earned 10,000 rupees, which is a lot, in the morning, just within a few hours. Then there were no patients. So I thought, why to waste time chit-chatting, time pass, prajalpa, WhatsApp? So what I thought I'll do? Chant Hare Krishna. So I went to my cabin, put my bead back, and I started chanting Hare Krishna. But then a document came on my table, and I had to submit this document. So I took the document and I walked out of my cabin, which was the mistake he did. Walked out of the cabin and I went to submit in the admin department. Immediately, my co-worker saw me. Prabhuji, office time, no japa. That's a rule. Nah? When you're serving, you don't chant. Office time, no japa. So how he felt? Misunderstood, insulted. I did so much in the morning. I cleared all the patients. Now why is he acting like this? See Prabhu, just see the people I'm working with. So what do you think? Now we are in a neutral point of view. We are cool head. So we can see things nicely. If you are in the picture, you cannot see. So what do you think? Case study. Because Prabhu, what do you think? Who is right? Who is wrong? Is the Japamala wrong? Is the doctor wrong? Or his co-worker wrong? Both are wrong. Japamala wrong. Krishna is mistake. So he should not have chanted. Doctor is wrong. He should know how he'll influence others, okay? He'll come again. How he reacted. Okay, he didn't speak anything to the person. He just, but inside, boiling. And he came it out on me when yesterday we met. He said, look at the people I'm working with, Prabhu. Kya immature. How much I'm doing for the hospital. But there's not, cannot think like that. What do you think? Same point like Vikas Prabhu was saying, so you be careful your dealings, because the material world is like a gunpowder factory and you're walking around in matches. You're walking around in a match in a gunpowder factory. You know gunpowder? What do you call it? Gunpowder, no? You know. So if you drop the match accidentally anywhere, boom! Kalaha! Fight is evident in material world. Whether for 1 grain of rice or 1 million rupees. What else do you think, doctor? Both are right, that's why. Usually people say both are wrong. Achha, both are right. Positive. Okay? What do you think? If you are in that situation, no thinking, put down the bead bag, chodo, Hare Krishna. So I just told the doctor that what happened is happened. You can't change it. People will act like he said. People will act accordingly. I say, but we can change one thing. We can change our perception. So I said, let's say if I tell you now, I'm just telling you this vision. Let's see from this vision. Change the vision. Change the camera lens. Chalo, now you saw this lens, change the vision. I said, let's see from a different angle. What happened if I tell you that Krishna inspired this devotee just to tell you to be attentive in your chanting? Why you have to submit the document now? Why don't you complete one mala, put the bead back down, take the document and go and submit, come back to your cabin, sit down and focus? What if it's Krishna's way of telling you? How do you feel about that? So, of course, it's tough at that time, but it's tough for anyone being in the situation. But this change of angle, change of drishti, giving the benefit of the doubt. You've heard this in English? Giving the benefit of the doubt. Natural response, rule is don't chant while working. And you come with Zanay, why are you chanting while working? Simple, he just said it. He's not going to catch you by the neck or something like that. He just said it. But how we accept phrases, statements, so on and so forth, it affects us. Okay? So, they are considering now how to punish. So, text 34. So, like this, they also start thinking. They didn't immediately react. This very important line, the punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Just see, that means the Kumaras were envious, the Kumaras were malice, the Kumaras were just out of hate. Did they feel their ego was hurt? Again, please understand, these Kumaras we are discussing are not some small children, not some Gurukul children, small kids what who felt bad. These are great Sampradaya Acharyas, big Jnanis. And to achieve this level in Gyan, that means they have totally renounced the material world. They are in Brahman realization. That means they have no concept of false ego. They are beyond the three Vidyatap, the threefold miseries. They are beyond the bodily concept. They are absorbed in Brahman. That means they have no feeling of mine, my body, my izzat, my name. They didn't feel like that. So here they are saying, even though they felt like, hey, how we act like this? So we have to curse them just to correct him. But ultimately, it should be for their benefit. So punishment should be beneficial. Punishment should uplift a person. It's opposite. Na? Generally, punishment means to push a person down. No. Even in the material world, punishment is not to push a person down. Why do people go to prison? Because the police don't like them? To be reformed, for correction. Rehabilitation. So even in the material world, people are punished for them to improve. How much more then will be it evident in the spiritual world or in a spiritual culture? So we're not going against punishment. Punishment has to be there. But punishment should lead towards betterment. It should lead towards betterment. A person should improve. So this is their vision. So from this we can understand they had no malice. So that is the Kumara situation. Now directly the Kumaras will curse the Jay and Vijay. And this will not please the Lord. So this sequence is Vaishnava Aparat. A fight between two Vaishnavas. Jay and Vijay and four Kumaras. So you have to see our Adhikar. Better is to go through the proper channel. Nicely, humbly. Prabhuji, I just want to ask. I just want to inform Prabhuji. Nothing like that. I'm just feeling. Maybe you can see how. But so and so, what and what. I'm just informing. It's okay. You must see our adhikar. Simply you go and catch someone and say, hey, why? I'm punishing you for your own good. Doesn't happen. Nah. So here also, although they had the good intention, like last time we discussed, you may have the proper action. That means your dharma is right. I won't speak lie. But what is the intention Krishna will see behind? Higher than intention is etiquette. You can be dharmic, but is your intention right? You're doing the right action. Yeah, I'm doing the right thing. But is your intention right? Oh, your intention is you want name and fame. Some people give charity. That is the right thing. But the piche ka intention jo hai, the bhavana, is they want to become famous. I want some fame. So Krishna sees the intention. More than intention, Krishna sees the etiquette. So these are three different levels. Do the right thing. More than doing the right thing is feel the right thing. More than having the right feeling is do it in the right way. So here's a mistake on Kumara's side now. And actually the glory here comes with Jay and Vijay. So although they might have done an initial mistake, but they are glorious. They are right. In the end, we will see. Initially, maybe they have done a mistake. Yeah. Oh, a person should do a right thing. Always do the right thing. But even doing the right thing, you should have the right intention or feeling. The right intention. But higher than having the right intention is doing it in a right way. Etiquette, sadachar, should be right. Jay and Vijay's job is to stop people. That is what they're supposed to do. And they did it with the right intention also. The intention was right. They wanted to protect Vaikuntha. But the way they did it was wrong. Directly say, hey, you four boys, how are you? Can't you see you're not dressed so properly? Kaisa, nangda gumre. Chalo, you're not allowed here, kids. Hey, bahar jao, bahar jao. See, what is this? That is rude. How you do it also is rude. So our security person also, our reception people, they were good. When even the person was shouting at them, they, sorry, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, please, jaye udhar. Please, just, they spoke nicely. Imagine they also burst out means, it'll be World War III. Right. So these three things are important. So like that they considered. So then they thought the best thing is because these people are seeing dvanda, these people are seeing dualities between good and bad and who is allowed and who is not allowed. Because they're seeing dvandva in a world where it's absolute. You're seeing duality in world where it's absolute truth. Vaikuntha spiritual world is absolute. You're seeing duality in absolute, so better you go to the duality world. Which is the duality world? Martya Loka is material world. Better you come here because you're seeing duality. Okay, so they come here. So Prabhupada writes in the purport also that the reason why pure souls come into the existence of the material world, which is considered a criminal department of the Supreme Lord, is stated here. Okay. So what are the three enemies in this material world? The Prabhupada writes in the purport, the three enemies of the living entities are desire, anger, and lust. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Basically, we see in Bhagavad Gita, Iccha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata. Iccha Dvesha Samutena. In Bhagavad Gita, you remember this verse? Iccha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata. So this Iccha and this Dvesh, this seeing dualities. So Prabhupada writes, continuing that purport, these three enemies force the living entities to continue material existence. And when one is free from them, then only he is eligible to enter the kingdom of God. One should not, therefore, be angry in the absence of an opportunity for sense gratification. Generally that happens, no? When I want something so much, I like it, I didn't get it. You become angry. What is that verse? Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhava. That another verse. Then, one should not be lusty to acquire more than necessary. Like that. So Prabhupada says that people should learn to accept Bhagavad Gita and Krishna as the Lord of everything. They should practice satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord instead of trying to satisfy their own senses. Today only morning, Prabhupada gave the class on this. You remember? Same theme. What class Prabhupada gave? How many of you were there for Prabhupada's class today morning? Prabhupada spoke the same thing, na? That one should learn to satisfy Krishna's senses. Atmendriya, Prithivancha, Tarebale, Kam. Krishnendriya, Prithivancha, Dharipiramanam. So, same thing Prabhupada told in today's morning class. They should try to satisfy Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada writes, last line, very important. Training in Krishna consciousness will help one be promoted to Vaikuntha. So the whole spiritual program, the training, it's a training program, lifelong training, continuous training program, for us to become free from desire, anger, and lust. At the same time, get attachment to Krishna. So then, it sounds similar only. So Ichcha and Dvesha, two things itself are sufficient. But here they write three things. Desire is Ichcha, anger is Krodha, lust is Kaam. You know the amazing thing of the six anarthas? They are all just different varieties of envy. Because ultimately there's only one anartha, which is envy. That is a seed, na? Because we were envious toward Krishna, we came to this material world. Now this envy is manifested in different intensities, in different ways. Lust, which seems like the most powerful of all anarthas, the most prominent of all anarthas, is actually the weaker in intensity. And then you have other, like example, highest, the most difficult of all is after pride is envy. Envy is like the highest in intensity. Pride is on higher. So later when we see this Mohini Murthy episode in 8th canto, Lord Shiva will become bewildered by Mohini Murthy. So there Acharyas write, just to purify Shiva from a higher anartha of pride, Krishna gave him a lower anartha of lust. Just to purify Shiva from a... Because at that time Shiva was a bit proud. That, my Lord, show me your Maya. My wife is Maya Devi. My wife is Durga Devi. I can handle it. Maya is nothing to me. Maya is my patni. Maya is my wife. So my Lord, you show me your Maya. Lord said, don't ask for something you cannot handle. He said, I'm Mahadev. It's okay. I can handle. Thoda bahut pride hai. So Krishna wanted to increase his bhakti. So Krishna wanted to remove that pride. So for a higher, to remove a higher anartha, Krishna gave him a lower anartha, which is lust. So for most jivas in this material world, lust itself is enough for to smash us. For us, lust is big, big thing. But as you go on the sixth anarthas, it goes higher in intensity. But ultimately, everything is born of envy. So similarly here also, desire, anger and lust. Right? What is anger? Frustrated lust. When lust is frustrated, anger is born. Kamanuja, the younger brother of lust. Anger, Krodha is known as Kamanuja, younger brother of lust. After this come, he comes. Shall we proceed? Text 35. So when the doormen of Vaikuntha Loka, who were certainly devotees of the Lord, just see, who is saying this? Sukadeva Goswami is saying everything. Brahma is saying, na? Come back to context. So Brahma is saying, when the two doormen of Vaikuntha, who were certainly devotees of the Lord, so verifying Jay and Vijay's position, found out that they were going to be cursed by the Brahmanas, they at once became very much afraid and fell down at the feet of the Brahmanas in great anxiety. For the Brahmanas' curse cannot be counteracted by any kind of weapon. Chapter 14, we saw who else became afraid of the Brahmanas' kopa? Diti. Kopa, the anger of Brahmanas. Who became afraid? Diti. Diti knew, better my sons to be killed by Lord than to be killed by Brahmanas. Brahmanas' wrath is worse. So here similarly Jay and Vijay also know. In the purport, Prabhupada write, although by chance, it's important, eh? By chance, the doorman committed a mistake by checking the Brahmanas from entering the Vaikuntha gate, they were at once aware of the gravity of the curse. So this is important. So there are many kinds of offenses, but the greatest offense to offend is a devotee of the Lord. But because the doorman were also devotees, they could understand their mistake and were terrified when the four Kumaras were ready to curse them. So we may do a mistake by chance or by fault. We may do a mistake. But being in a devotional position, we have to always remember at the back of our head, what is the mulya, what is the value, what is the importance of Vaishnava. So in this chapter, in this section, we are going to see two Vaishnavas discord. Okay, fighting with each other. And how that gets sorted out. We're going to see some instance of Vaishnava Parad. And we're going to see instance of the glories of Vaishnavas. Which the Lord is going to come. When the Lord appears, His only purpose is to show the glories of Vaishnavas. So it is a conflict resolution that we're going to see. So text 36. So Prabhupada translates this text 36 as Jay and Vijay speaking. Chakravarti Pad will translate this text 36 as Kumara's speaking. Okay, that's the only small difference. It doesn't matter anyways. Let's see what they say, whoever they are. So Prabhupada's translation. After being cursed by the sages, the doorman said, this Prabhupada is saying, Jay and Vijay, it is quite apt that you have punished us for neglecting to respect sages like you. But we pray that due to your compassion at our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Lord will not come upon us as we progressively go downward. In essence, Jay and Vijay is saying, my lords, because we have offended you and you have cursed us to go down, we pray for your mercy that as we are falling down into this material world, may we in no circumstance forget the Lord. So Prabhupada writes in the beginning of the purport, to a devotee, any heavy punishment is tolerable. Yeah, whatever punishment you give me, it's okay. But the one which affects forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord, that we cannot tolerate. So devotee, tiraskrita vipralabdha. So a devotee is very tolerant. But if it has to be, he's forgetful of Krishna, he cannot take it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, kita janmaho, that even if I have to born in a family or in any species, it's okay. But I should not forget the lotus feet of Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj? Punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanante. Even if I have to take birth again, no problem. But may I take birth among devotees? So this is the common prayer that you'll see in Bhagavatam. That most of the devotees, when they meet Sakshat Bhagavan, what they ask from Bhagavan? Bangla gadi. I want association of devotees. Because even if I see Krishna, I'm with Krishna, still I can forget his position. Remember some song? Okay. Right? What was I saying? So even if they see the Lord, they never ask, my Lord, I already see you, my life is successful, wonderful, please give me service. No, because they know there is chance for committing aparad. There's every chance of familiarity. One day even I might see Lord, so But better than that, better than even the association of Lord is the association of devotees. Because in the Vaishnava Sangha, you will always remember about the sweetness, the wonderful, the beauty of the Lord. So even serving the Lord so close is not so good for not a person who is not so elevated, which is most jivas. So few people are kept close to the Lord and the rest are kept in the association of Vaishnavas, which is greater. The Lord came as a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to taste that only. To relish that what these people are discussing and enjoying so much than even in my association. So pujaris may experience. Pujari may do all. So we think that when I get Krishna, everything is going to be okay. Krishna will understand me. He is the heart. Oh, Krishna is such a dynamic person. He's Tribhangi. He's such a dynamic personality that we cannot tolerate his dynamicness. So therefore, in this material world, we accept spiritual master. We accept authorities. Why? You learn from these devotees. These devotees are just part and parcel of Krishna's dynamic nature. Krishna is more dynamic. Things will change like anything. How will you accept that? Tomorrow Krishna will say, you see the Pandavas. Universe after universe, they are traveling with Krishna, suffering and suffering in different pastimes. They are not going back to the spiritual world. For them, they are continuing eternal Leela, Nitya Leela. Every universe that Krishna goes and appears in and does it, Nitya Leela goes on every universe. Na? Same Pandavas are also moving with Krishna. And they reenact the pastime there, they reenact pastime there. Kunti, Draupadi, enact again and again, they are reenacting. What do you think? Tough, na? It's not that one universe they are going to have a break. अभी सब अच्छा है ये यूनिवर्स में कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं है दूसरा यूनिवर्स में प्रॉब्लम चालू हो गया नहीं सो दिस इज द सुप्रीम ऑटोक्रैट कृष्णा ओके एंड इफ यू फील डिवोटी इज सो डिफिकल्ट वन लेक्चर प्रॉपर सेइंग ओह दैट डे इन भागवतम क्लास ओनली Who was speaking? I forgot. He's quoting Radhanath Swami Maharaj, saying that if even you envy or you hate one quality of any devotee, it's actually hating a part of Krishna. Who spoke this? Yesterday only Bhagavatam? No, Friday, Saturday Bhagavatam? Anyways, just recently, last Bhagavatam, maybe Sunday, if not Saturday Bhagavatam. So that if you hate any devotee, you're hating one part of Krishna. Because everyone is a quality of Krishna only. So you say, this devotee is very difficult. When you go back to spiritual world, that quality will be there in him. Krishna has all the qualities. Okay? So we don't hate. So the doorman could understand the punishment that meted out to them. So I'll just give you Chakratipat translation in this verse, verse 36. Chakratipat is saying that when Jay and Vijay fall at the feet of the Kumaras, immediately the Kumaras understood, my God, just see the Vaishnavata, just see their Vaishnava qualities. We have done a mistake. Today, our fame, our popularity as the mind-born sons of Brahma, as that four bacche, sadhu, small, innocent Kumaras, have become spoiled. Because today we have become angry. Naam kharab ho gaya. The whole universe will know that today these four boys became angry. Because usually a sadhu is known for very shant, peaceful. Na? Kumaras are peaceful. But they said, oh my God, immediately when they fall at their feet, Kumaras immediately became repentant. My God. And therefore this verse, Chakratipat says, that they only spoke. So they are saying, please forgive us. Give us what punishment you want. Forgive us offenders. They are feeling that they have done aparad. They realize that they have done aparad because we have cursed two Vaishnavas like you. So definitely because of cursing two Vaishnavas like you, we will fall downwards. We are going to fall down now. Kumaras are saying. We are going to fall down. Therefore please be merciful unto us. O Jay and Vijay. O Parshat. O associate of the Lord. That when we fall down, may we still remember Krishna. They are praying from their point of view. Both views are correct, na? Yeah. So that's Chakratipat is giving this and Prabhupada is giving like this. Nothing wrong. Right, okay. So purport says the ending. Text 37, we'll continue. Now, at that very moment, the Lord, who is called Padmanabha, because of the lotus grown from his navel, and who is the delight of righteousness, learned of the righteousness, learned about the insult offered by his own servants to the saints. So the Lord only saw this drishti. The Lord saw that what mistake my people did to Kumaras. For example, I told you that incident when our security person stopped that guest. So immediately the general manager came to know. Oh, hamara security ne guest ko ruka diya. He never think that the security, that guest was shouting on out of his lungs, above his lungs, shouting. He immediately saw that our people made a mistake. So the Lord's drishti is this only. He saw that his own servants had insulted the saints. So accompanied by his spouse, who is his spouse? Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. He went to the spot. He went to the spot on those very feet sought by the recluses of and great sages. So that means he walked and went. He didn't take a taxi or electric vehicle and came down. But the Lord immediately personally went. That's how urgent it is. So Acharyas write, why did Lakshmi Devi come? Why did he bring Lakshmi Devi? Yes, Ashwat, you have a funny answer. When you're dealing with people, she might have some good ideas. The Lord is Atmaram. So Chakratipat, Acharya, writes, this is a good answer, but not accepted. So, as per Shastra, actually later you'll see it comes in Shiva Parvati episode also. Shiva will consult Parvati first, before drinking poison. So Prabhupada writes there, disciples of Prabhupada write. Same thing, you should always consult before doing something. So here, why did he bring Lakshmi? Is because the Lord wanted to show, oh, Kumaras, today the Lord has made a decision. I will inundate these four Kumaras who are Jnanis in Bhakti Prem, in Bhakti Anand. Today I will give them Bhakti. Already they come so close. Chalo. So the Lord has made this determination. He took Lakshmi Devi because you Jnanis, you only know about the material Maya. You know about my external energy. Jnani means they know fully about the external world, isliye they reject. Today, I want to show you my internal potency. I want to show you my internal potency. Because Brahman is the midway between the external world and the internal world. So these Chaturkumara are very elevated. They have come to the neutral position, back to zero. We are all in the material world negative. We are trying to come up positive. We are practicing a positive progress. But we are in the negative zone. We are on the negative zone. So these Kumaras are in the neutral zone already. No negatives, purified. No anarthas, no prarabdha karmas, nothing, purified. So for them it's more actually easy to take up the bhakti. So Krishna says, chalo, I'll give them bhakti right now. Right. So how do you get bhakti? So yeah, true. Bhakti can only be gotten by devotees. Bhaktya sanjayate bhaktya. The verse in Bhagavatam that comes. Bhakti only comes from bhakti. Even Krishna, God, doesn't give bhakti. So then, Jay and Vijay fell at the feet of four Kumaras. This translation, Jay and Vijay fell at the feet. Even Chakravarti part says Jay and Vijay fell at the feet. Not Kumaras fell. Jay and Vijay fell at the feet, but Kumaras immediately felt bad. So because the who are more Vaishnava between both? If you want to see, both are devotees, both are Vaishnava. Who is more of a Vaishnava? Jay and Vijay. They are more of a Vaishnava in this context right now. Sanat Kumar, the Chatur Kumaras, they are going to become devotees. We are going to see how I came to Krishna conscious story of Sanat Kumaras. Okay, we're going to see how I came to Krishna conscious story. So they're going to become, they're also purified. Please don't look down on them. But we're going to see how they became the devotee. Of course, Jay and Vijay are already devotees. Therefore, they're so humble they can fall. So in this pastime, Chakravarti Pat says, the Lord wants to exhibit, or the Lord, by churning the humility in both Kumaras and Jay and Vijay, He wants to show the glories of Vaishnavas. By churning the humility in both hearts. Now both of them are perspiring with humility. Generally in the material world, when fight like this happen, both are perspiring with anger. But here both are having humility at heart. My God, kya kya, I'm sorry. Accident, I said it by accident. So Jay and Vijay said sorry, they fell at the feet. We said it by accident. Kumaras cursing them, they also fell accident. So Kumaras actually got bhakti. They are not going to get it from the Lord. Krishna is going to give. But actually they already got it earlier from Brahma, their father, and brother. Who is their brother? Narada. So Chakravarti Pat mentions, earlier means where the earlier section, Brahma and Narada had blessed or prayed that four Kumaras will become devotees. So earlier, Brahma and the Narada had already prayed that the four Kumaras become devotees. And therefore in this now scene is where the Lord is going to give bhakti. So the mercy of devotee attracts the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord then bestows bhakti. The first ones have to have the mercy of devotee. So again, whole context of our discussion comes importance of Vaishnavas. Because only by the mercy of Vaishnavas you can achieve everything else that is achievable in this world. So if one is thinking that I don't need this person, I live alone. What is so difficult? Kantimala around the neck, some mud and clay on my forehead, some beads in my hand, mantra I know, it's written and printed everywhere. Chant. What's so difficult? So many people want to practice separately. They go on. Practice on their own. Very difficult. Sangha is needed. Vaishnavas are needed. however difficult it is, or however difficult it may appear to be. So a person who leaves the Sangha of Vaishnava is the most unfortunate person. He may say that I'm still practicing Prabhu, don't worry, I'm still okay. You are wrapped in plastic. Neither are you degrading, nor are you elevating. You're like a plastic mango. You can't wait for a plastic mango when it'll become ripened. It'll never become ripe. So because he is not committing any aparad, he won't degrade. But because he is not taking a favorable association of devotees, he won't advance. But which is more likely? To commit aparad in the future? More likely, na? Internally or something, he might criticize. Then he might go down only. So staying away is more dangerous. Better to stay in the Vaishnava Sangha. Learn humility. Let that rubbing happen. Let that clash happen. But let humility come out. Holy name is there. Krishna is reciprocating. But what is Krishna alone without Vaishnava? That is seeing Veda Buddhi. That is Dvesh. That is cutting Krishna from his energy. Krishna wants his devotees. Krishna is the Supreme Father. He has two sons. He doesn't want to see his son fighting, whoever they are. We may not be able to function perfectly, but there is no malice. That is important. There is no malice. See his face in the morning. Feel like vomiting. Why is it like that? He comes one direction, you want to go another direction. That is malice. That is malice. But I may not function. I may not agree how he works. I may not agree. I may not like it so much. I like cake. He likes the icing. We can work together when cake comes. Okay, we'll continue. Which verse are we? 38, huh? 37 ho gaya? So 37. At that very moment, read na, done ready. 38, okay. So the sages headed by Sanak Rishi saw that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who was formerly visible only within their hearts in ecstatic trance, had now actually become visible to their eyes. So earlier the Lord was only visible in meditation. Now he has come. Who else like this? We see in Dhruv Maharaj. He also meditated on Prishni Garbha. Finally he saw the Lord outside. Who else? Narada boy. Narada boy also meditated. Then the image gone. He opened his eyes. He saw the Lord. He said, last darshan. Curtain is going to close. Last darshan in this life. Like that. So many instances. As he came forward, accompanied by his own associates, bearing all paraphernalia. So the Lord wasn't alone. The Lord was not only with Lakshmi, he was with his associates. Such as the umbrella and charmer fan. The white bunches of hair moved gently, like two swans. So what was like two swans? The charmers. And due to the favorable breeze, the pearls garlanding the umbrella also moved, like drops of nectar falling from the white full moon, or ice melting due to a gust of wind. So this is Atishayokti. This is a metaphor used to invoke the emotions of coolness, freshness, softness, charmer like swan, breeze that is moving, ice that is slowly melting due to the wind, to invoke a feeling of coolness, drops of nectar from the moon. This is a metaphor. It's not really that the umbrella had drops of water. What's the use of umbrella, isn't it? But it's an atishayokti, a metaphor, just to invoke these emotions of cool, smooth, tenderness, softness. That feeling should come in as we are reading. Okay? In the purport, Prabhupada writes, in the Brahma Samhita, it is said in the Brahma Samhita that devotees being elevated in love of God always see Shyam Sundar, the personal of Godhead, within their hearts. Really? What verse is this? Brahma Samhita. Always see Shyam Sundar. Yet Shyam Sundaram. premanjana churita bhakti milochanena. Let's see. But when they are mature, the same God is visible before them face to face. So in maturity of devotion, one can actually see the Lord. Like Gauranga Gunarnava Prabhu is desiring, you mentioned earlier, to see the Lord. So in the maturity of devotion, one can see the Lord face to face. In your second canto only, I think, you came across the handshake of Brahma. The Lord shake hands with Brahma. Remember? And then in the purport, what Prabhupada write? Anyone who is in the disciplic succession from Brahma can also shake hands with the Lord if we follow the paddhati, the system. For ordinary persons, the Lord is not visible. However, when one can understand the significance of His holy names and one engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with the tongue, by chanting and tasting prasada. What verse is this? Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam? Atta, Sikrishna Namadi, Sevon Muke, Hi Jihvadau. That is this verse. Then only you can perceive the Lord. Thus the devotee constantly sees the Lord within the heart. And in a mature stage, he can see the Lord directly. So, Shashwat will talk about, what about the holy names? Here also Prabhupada is saying, holy name is there. But who gives us the understanding of glory of the holy name? Devotees. Who tells us about the 10 aparads? We are discussing in our afternoon discussion, Balram Sakti Bro, about this Dasanam aparad only. Out of the 10 aparads, you only commit one aparad during chanting. Inattentive chanting. And the rest, 9? 24 hours. Throughout the whole day. So, these 10 offenses are not something just for chanting. Before chanting, I read the 10 offenses because of my chanting. It's actually a lifestyle. You might do some offense somewhere, but later you're going to chant. So it's like, oh, in my chanting time, I won't offend any devotee. No. So 10 offenses to the holy name is not only because while we are chanting. It throughout our lives. So who will teach us these things? Vaishnavas. And most of the, to give us the right shraddha, the right faith, the right understanding. Who will give us the right understanding? Devotees. Everyone comes into the Krishna conscious movement with a different conception. Some people, because of burnt by the fire of the material world, pagya, material world, hey, job, work. So they came into bhakti life. Some people don't want to take that responsibility, so they came into this life. Some people very curious. I want a pure life. I want a pure life. Shuddha jivan jaye. I don't want so much bhakti vakti, but I want a pure life. I want to lead a... He come into bhakti. So many reasons, no? But later, after coming into bhakti, then the Vaishnavas instructors, your only desire is that to be, to Krishna prem, to please Krishna. So we forget our earlier reasons of coming into Krishna consciousness. Now if there was no devotees, that bearing, that point, our focus, our goal will be wrong. Correct? Shraddha will be wrong. Now the Shraddha is fixed. Today I offer Vishwesh Prabhu Ashta Siddhi, 8 perfections. Do you want? 8 perfections. Anima, Lagima, Mahima. No, Matajis? Hare Krishna. Gauranga Gunarnava Prabhu, I offer you Moksha, Brahman. No deities, just Brahman. Will you accept? No, why? Why? It's peaceful, there's no devotees to disturb you there. You have your own room. So much room. Eh? Why not Brahman? Ah, because you know there's something higher. Who told you about this love of Krishna? Devotees. Gaurachandra Bhagavan, bro. Today I offer you all kinds of sense enjoyments. You can go to US, big car, gadi, bangla, everything. What do you think? You don't have to work. Everything will be given to you. Are you happy? No? With a smile, no? Why? It's temporary. So who gave us this knowledge? Everyone came in with these desires. Who right in this? So this is power of devotee association. And even in bhakti, we may go off wrong sometimes. Aray, Prabhuji, very difficult. Then a devotee will come and advise us and correct our bearings. So that is the power of Vaishnava Sangha. To fine-tune us. It happens. After even 20 years, you'll a bit go off. Then someone to bring us back. So text 39. The Lord is a reservoir of all pleasure. His auspicious presence is meant for everyone's benediction. And His affectionate smiling and glancing touch, the core of the heart. Okay, Sneha Avaloka. I discussed with you before also. This comes many places. Avalokanam. The Lord's beautiful body color. So whenever the Lord appears in Bhagavatam, His beauty is described, no matter what. So here also some few verses about the Lord's beauty. His beautiful bodily color is blackish. His broad chest is the residing place of the goddess of fortune, who glorifies the entire spiritual world, the summit of all heavenly planets. Thus it appeared that the Lord was personally spreading the beauty and good fortune of the spiritual world. Okay, so the purport Prabhupada talks about the spiritual world, the Lord's beauty, like that. And in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada talks about the danger of committing Vaishnaparad. Yeah? So the first part of the paragraph, Prabhupada writes, to commit an offense against a devotee is very dangerous in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya therefore said that an offense to a devotee is just like mad elephant run loose. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it tramples over all plants. Similarly, an offense unto the feet of a pure devotee murders, heavy word Prabhupada used, murders one's position in devotional service. You either have to underline, circle, or mark this word. Murders one's position in devotional service. Okay. Okay, then text 40. The beauty of the Lord. He was adorned with a girdle that shone brightly on the yellow cloth covering his large hips. So what cloth was covering Vrindavan Vihari's hips today? Two cloths are there. White? Yellow and blue. Intertwined. Green was there? Is it green or blue? Nobody's remembering. Okay, anyways. Here the Lord is wearing a yellow cloth. He wore a garland of fresh flowers, which was distinguished by humming bees. His lovely wrists were graced with bracelets and rested one of his hand on the shoulder of Garuda, the carrier, and twirled a lotus with another hand. Not twirling the lotus and looking at the Kumaras. Hey, catch it. And one hand is on Garuda. So Acharyas give a commentary. Why is he twirling the lotus? Interesting, isn't it? This comes in another place also. Shvetotpalam. It's called, the Lord is holding a white lily in his hand in some different place in Bhagavatam. So here he's holding a lotus and he's twirling. So the Lord is basically saying, hey Kumaras, today I am going to churn the lotus of your heart. Your heart is fixed in Brahman. Now why you become agitated? Your heart is fixed in Brahman realization. Now why you become agitated? Today I am going to churn the lotus of your heart which is fixed in Brahman and make it fixed in bhakti. So the Lord is showing him like that. Text 41. More beauty of the Lord. His countenance, that means his, feature, face, expression. His expression was distinguished by cheeks that enhanced the beauty of his alligator-shaped pendants, his earring, Makara Kundala, which outshine lightning. His nose was prominent, and his head was covered with a gem-studded crown. No turban, huh? It's Vaikuntha. A charming necklace hung between his stout arms, and his neck was adorned by the gem known as the name Kaustub. So in few chapters ago, we saw the beauty of Kaustub. What is imprinted on the Kaustub, Mani? Calf. Text 42. The exquisite beauty of Narayan being many times magnified by the intelligence of his devotees, was so attractive that it defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune in being the most beautiful. My dear demigods, the Lord who is thus manifested himself is worshipable by me. Me means who? Brahma, Shiva, and by all of you. Who are all of you? Demigods. The sages regarded him with unsated eyes and joyously bowed their heads at his lotus feet. So in this purport is a very beautiful comparison that Prabhupada writes between the beauty of Narayan and the beauty of Krishna. In Vaikuntha Loka, who is the most beautiful? Narayan or Lakshmi? Narayan. Because that is what the devotees want. They desire to see the Lord as the most beautiful. But in Vrindavan, in Goloka, who is more beautiful than Krishna? Radharani. So even Krishna takes a back seat. So Krishna is known as Madana Mohana, that he even charms Cupid. But Srimati Radharani is known as Madana Mohana Mohini, that she even charms Krishna. So because in Vaikuntha they want to see him. So Prabhupada writes this in the purport. He is called Madana Mohana. It is described that the Lord sometimes becomes mad after the beauty of Radharani. Poets described that under these circumstances, the Lord is Madana Mohana. He becomes Madana Daha, or enchanted, or defeated by the beauty of Radharani. But actually the Lord's beauty is super excellent, surpassing even the beauty of Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. But the devotees of the Lord in Vaikuntha want to see the Lord as the most beautiful. But the devotees in Gokula or Krishna Loka want to see Radharani as more beautiful than Krishna. Okay? So the Lord pleases his devotee accordingly. Now, text 43, the most important beautiful verse. Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjal Kamishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu Antargata Swavivarena Chakara Desham Shankshobha Makshara Jusham Apichitta Tanvo. When
of Tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead enter the nostrils of those sages, they experience a change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding.
So in a Bhagavad Subodhini, a special verses section, we have written one exposition on this verse. It's important in the sense, how does it show many, many different features? It shows how a person becomes Krishna conscious, right? It shows how a person from Brahman realization can become a bhakta. It shows different ways a person is attracted. It quotes Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu giving the analogy that Tulasi is a uddipan for devotional service. Okay? So this Sanskrit, you can read that on your own time. So the Sanskrit is saying, Tasya of him who is Aravinda Nayana. That means the lotus-like Lord of him, Padaravinda, his lotus feet. Kinjalka, that means his toes, Mishra, mixed with Tulasi. Kinjalka, Mishra, Tulasi. That means Tulasi is offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. So those fragrance, Makaranda, that fragrance which is carried by the Vayu, the wind. So the wind is an important agency here. The wind is carrying the fragrance. To who? To the Chatukumaras. So, Antargata. So it has entered in within them. Sva Vivarena. Through their nostrils. Chakara Tesham. It brought about a change. What kind of change? Shankshobam. Agitation. It made them agitated. The smell of Tulasi made them agitated. Just like from the kitchen in the morning, when there's a smell of what do you have in the morning? I don't know. Which is very prominent? when you know they put the chongs, then you know already what sabji is there. King or some, you know what today's breakfast item is basically. Right? The moment you smell, you already know what today's breakfast item is from the kitchen. So, Brahman. He said always smelling the same. No, he's Brahman. Many devotees can experience the difference. Okay? They know what item is cooked. So sad, he's saying. Okay. Yeah. So he's Akshara Jusham, attached to impersonal. Then he feels a change in Chitta Tanvo. Api Chitta Tanvo. So Acharyas describe the winds carry the fragrance, entered into their nostrils, agitated their mind, and that agitation was also seen in body. Agitation in mind was seen in a change of consciousness. Agitation on body was seen in their astasatvika, ashtasatvika vikar. They were having ashtasatvika vikar, smelling tulsi. Now, every day in the morning we worship tulsi. We get tulsi leaves distributed maha from the lotus feet of Vrindavan Bihari. Special counters at the site there. Someone starts distributing the leaves. You take it. Are we immediately in ecstasy? Akshara Jusham Apichitta Tanvoho. Okay? So one verse to remember, that when we worship Tulsi Maharani, when we honor Tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord, we can remember this. So a very important verse, that this is how then they became devotees. So this is the Lord's mercy. The Lord gave them mercy like this. Okay. Beautiful verse, huh? This verse is the change. This verse is Kumara's how I came to Krishna consciousness verse. They came to Krishna consciousness because of Tulsi Puja. They came to Krishna consciousness because of Tulsi Puja. During Tulsi Puja, they became a devotee. Smelling the fragrance, taking the Tulsi leaves, they honored. Just by the smell, they immediately broke out of their Brahman impersonal conception. Now they became devotees. Text 44. The Lord's beautiful face appeared to them like the inside of a blue lotus. So now only they're realizing this. The Lord's beautiful face appeared to them like the inside of a blue lotus. And the Lord's smile appeared to be like the blossoming jasmine flower. After seeing the face of the Lord, the sages were fully satisfied. And when they wanted to see him further, they looked upon the nails of his lotus feet, which resembled rubies, shining bright red. Thus they viewed the Lord's transcendental body again and again. And so they finally achieved meditation on the Lord's personal feature. So they are looking again and again at the Lord. So now they have actually achieved dhyana, dharana, that stage. So that's meditation. So earlier they were Brahman realized. Now change comes. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also we saw Saravama Bhattacharya. He was also an impersonalist. Mahaprabhu made a change in him. What was the greatest change seen? When Mahaprabhu came one morning, give him Jagannath Prasad. He had just woken up, not even take bath, not even brush teeth, not even do his Sandhya Vandan morning duties. Immediately he takes the Prasad, he quotes 2-3 verses glorifying Mahaprasad and he honors it. That one should not see the time, place, na desha niyamastatra, na kala niyamastatra. One should not see time, place, just honor when you get Prasad, you must honor it. So question comes, where did he learn this shloka? Sarama Bhattacharya. He'll quote some verses glorifying Prasad and he eats. Where did he learn this shloka? Were this shloka on the prasadam packet? How did Sarama Bhattacharya know these shlokas? That means he must have known them earlier also, but he had not realized them. Now, when he became a devotee, he can quote them back with realization. Because he's a great scholar. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. So he's a great scholar. He knew all these things before, but it never clicked. You know, understand clicked? It never clicked. But when he became a devotee, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then, of course, from his Gopinath also, Gopinath Acharya also, by his mercy also, then when he became a devotee, now this made sense. Immediately he could quote 2 verses. Now, it's not like you become a devotee and all the 700 Bhagavad Gita slokas, you know. Correct. You have to study, na? But now, things in the past make sense. Oh, yeah, you can see it from a devotional perspective. So he knew all the slokas before. But that time when someone would give him prasad, no, later. First take bath. Smartha Brahmin. But now, no. Immediately, you honor it like that. So the difference is not in knowledge. The difference is in realization. So here Kumaras also, they have heard about the beauty of the Lord like anything. Everyone studying Shastras, beauty of the Lord is covered only. And someone to become Jnani also, they have to do some meditation. Who they meditate on? The Lord in the heart. To meditate on the Lord in the heart, you need some description or not. That description is the beauty. So they have heard all these things. But today, they are seeing the Lord and they are actually investigating. My God, correct. Bah, the lotus feet, lotus thighs, there is bracelets, there is waist belt. There's still, my God, every section. His toenails are like rubies. His body is like brilliant, bright, fresh monsoon cloud. They're actually now realizing this after seeing all that. So that's the difference. So that is their change that they are experiencing. Text 45. In this form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of the yoga process. Sorry. This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of yoga process. And it is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary but factual as proved by the great yogis. The Lord is full in 8 kinds of achievements. But for others, these achievements are not possible in full perfection. So, the medium or the process for both jnanis and yogis are very similar. They both worship the Lord. But what makes them different? Between jnanis and bhaktas? What makes them different? Both are worshipping the Lord, both are loving the Lord, both are meditating on the beauty of the Lord. Okay, both are very sincere in their practice, both are getting mercy. What is the difference between them? The yogis, the jnanis, they are worshipping Krishna only to achieve something other than Krishna. They want siddhis. They want Brahman. But the devotees, they are worshipping Krishna only to achieve Krishna. So it's a beautiful verse that comes in one poetry in South India. Actually, Narayana Bhattatari, he says, Yogindranam twadangesu adhikasu maduram Mukti bhajam nivaso. Yogindranam, the best of the yogis. Yogindranam. He says, Yogindranam, they worship that adhikam, sumadura. That angam, that worship, that part of the Lord, which is adhika sumaduram. Not only is it so sweet, it is adhik, very sweet. It is very, very sweet. Adhika sumaduram. Mukti bhajam nivaso. Why they worship the Lord? For mukti. Bhaktanam kama varashadyuta ruki shalayam natate padamulam. But for the bhaktas, they also worship that same lotus feet. But for them, that lotus feet is a desire tree. That lotus feet is a desire tree, fulfilling all their desires of wanting Krishna. They achieve something which they don't have nothing further to achieve. So yogis are also worshipping that adhika sumaduram, lotus feet of the Lord. Bhaktas are also worshipping. But the yogis see it as mukti nivaso. They are seeing it as a resort, as a shelter of mukti. But the devotees, they are seeing it as a desire tree. Bhaktanam kama varashadyutarum kishalayam natate padamulam. Yogindranam tvat angeshu adhika sumaduram mukti bhajam nivasu. So both are worshipping, but their goal is different. So we also are doing bhakti, chanting Hare Krishna, but we have to be careful what are we chanting for. I'm chanting that, oh Krishna, I so much problems. Everybody, somebody catches me, give me this service, give me that service. I don't want. I just want to be in peace. I just want peace, Krishna. Let the devotees leave me alone. So Krishna will park you at the side. Nobody will disturb you. You will become plastic. You will not degrade, nor will you upgrade. Krishna will park you at the side. Because that is your desire. Krishna, why these people are disturbing me? I just want to sit and chant. But Prabhupada has given us the mood of chanting. What is the mood of chanting? O Madhara, O Srimati Radharani, please engage me in service of Krishna. That is the mood. And what is another mood Prabhupada has told? How to chant? Like a child crying to mother. So these are our two fundamental core understandings when we chant Hare Krishna. No other. These two things. I am praying for service in the mood of a child calling to the mother. These are the two mood when chanting. No other. If we have any other mood, then we are in the wrong parampara. Or wrong sampradaya. Because we are probably going to get something else. If you're praying that, I want the whole day today for me to just chant. I don't want any other thing. No one should disturb me. No one should catch me. Switch off my phone, switch off everything, go to one place. I just want to chant. Wow, what chanting I did today. But the mood is important. You won't find it. It's called a book called Narayaniyam. Narayaniyam is in Kerala, Dya Bhagavadam. In Sanskrit, written by Narayana Bhattatari. Yogindranam tvat angeshu adhikasu maduram. They don't tell you what, in the first line, they don't tell you what is that adhikasu maduram. What is that? Yogindranam tvat angeshu adhikasu maduram mukti bhajam nivaso. Wow, you're worshipping that most beautiful part which can give you mukti? What is that? They won't tell you. Surprise. What do you call that? Suspense. Bhaktanam kama varashadyutaram kishalayam natate padamulam. Now they tell you. It's padamulam. And it goes on. Nityam chitam stitam me pavanapurapate krishna karunya sindhu kritva nisheshatapan Pasidatu Paramananda Sandoga Lakshmim. Okay, so what are we discussing? Goal. So even all chanting, important, mood. So text 45. Correct? 45 done. Okay, this purport is very long. I'm going to leave it to you to study. Basically, it's the same things we discuss. What Prabhupada write, what are the 8 mystic perfections? Which Vishvesh Prabhu wanted. Right? Ashtasiddhi, you can read this. He says, no point in... Okay, this is the longest purport in this chapter. So, Prabhupada talks the difference between a jnani and a yogi. But in essence, we have discussed. Okay? But then Prabhupada says, at the end of the purport, he'll say about nowadays in India, in the United States, people are following the yoga process. The largest number of Indians follow this yoga process, which is bhakti. And in the United States, it is gradually spreading in many cities. You found that purport, that paragraph? It begins, the largest number of Indians. Right? So Prabhupada now here is talking about bhakti yoga. Right? He talked about the original yoga, that Ashtanga yoga. Now he talks about bhakti yoga in the purport. And in this paragraph specifically, Prabhupada very indirectly is glorifying himself. Indirectly. He's saying, the largest number of Indians follow this yoga process. That means in most of India, everyone does bhakti. And in the United States, it is gradually spreading in many cities. Who is spreading? Who is spreading? Prabhupada only is spreading. And he's writing so nonchalantly. In the United States, it is gradually spreading in Arizona. He is the only one spreading, na? But he never mentions himself. This is Prabhupada. It is very easy and practical. for this age, especially those who are serious about success in yoga. No other process of yoga can be successful in this age. Like that. Okay, so it's simply taken through the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In the study of Bhagavad Gita. Like that. So Prabhupada brings this purport very slowly, very detailed. You can read this. Now, after the Lord's appearance, so we heard about the Kumara's repentance and the Lord's appearance and their change from that word, Tasya Arvinda Nayanasya. Now text 46, what the Kumaras are going to say. So do you think the Kumaras are going to say sorry, or they're going to, how the Kumaras are going to react? Let's see from text 46. The Kumaras said, "Our dear Lord, you are not manifested to rascals, even though you are seated in the heart of everyone. But as far as we are concerned," that means they are more than rascals. "You don't appear to rascals, but for us, we see you face to face. Although you are unlimited, the statements we have heard from you, from our father Brahma, through the years have now actually been realized by your kind appearance." So much we have heard about you, now actually we are seeing you. "But you don't easily appear to rascals, but now you are appearing before us." So they are feeling gratitude. The emotion that is felt in this verse is gratitude. That's what the Kumaras are feeling. Unqualifiedness. They are feeling themselves unqualified. So Prabhupada in this purport, first paragraph talks the difference between a Duratma and a Mahatma. So, in the second paragraph of this purport, Prabhupada talks how the Kumaras became fortunate. So, this is what we were discussing just now. How did the Kumaras come to Krishna consciousness? How did they get bhakti? So, in this purport, Prabhupada is also saying, like we discussed, because the Kumaras were sons of Brahma, they had an opportunity to learn Vedic knowledge from the disciplic succession of Brahma. Therefore, in spite of their impersonalist beginnings, they became, in the end, direct seers of the personal feature of the Lord. So, Kumaras had the mercy of Brahma, and Chakratipar also says, from their brother Narada. Father's a devotee, brother's a devotee. So, Kumaras also heard about devotional service. So, they were given the seed of bhakti by them, and later, the Lord bestowed causeless mercy and therefore they became devotees. Then Kumaras continue, text 47. We know... Sorry? No. First canto was written in India. First canto was written in three parts, three volumes. We always hear three volumes of the first publication, Prabhupada says. It's first canto only, in three parts. That is how it was published. Prabhupada took those three parts to the West. He continued, started writing then second canto onwards, after he got settled down in New York and all. Then he started again second canto. By third canto, actually, devotees have already gone to London, if I'm not mistaken. Or at least towards the end of third canto, mid of third canto, 71 onwards. And then very short time, Prabhupada finishes all this. Practically, fifth canto, till eighth or ninth canto, Prabhupada did in 2 years. 75 to 77. In 2 years, Prabhupada did that. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita came in between. 74-75. That's why you see the format of Bhagavatam will change after fifth canto. CC format. How? Before each chapter, there's a summary. In all this, there's not there. But fifth canto, first chapter onwards, first chapter itself will have a summary. Then the chapter starts. Summary, then chapter starts. Every chapter onwards. Then your 10th canto, all 11th canto, 12th canto, all disciples follow the same flow. But canto 1, 2, 3, 4 has no summary, chapter summary. This happens because I mean, because what, I don't know, my understanding is because after fourth canto, that is documented, after fourth canto, Prabhupada started work on CC. And within a few months, 8 months, he completed everything, then sent for prints. Then he resumed work with fifth canto. So that style is seen there. Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur style, actually. Amrita Pravaha, his translation, he's of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He does like this. He gives a synopsis. He follows, actually it's Kraviraj Goswami style. He wrote it in a paragraph. So it's interesting to know. Huh? Good. Where Prabhupada is writing, what is important? So text 47. Kumaras are speaking to the Lord. We know that you are the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, who manifests his transcendental form in the uncontaminated mode of goodness. This transcendental eternal form of your personality can be understood only by your mercy through unflinching devotional service. How you get the mercy of the Lord? By unflinching devotional service. By great sages whose hearts have been purified in the devotional way. So that's also another way. In this purport, Prabhupada talks about the three modes. He talks about Shuddha Sattva. In the material world, all the modes are mixed. Not possible. We saw that earlier also. To get pure mode, or pure mode of goodness. Okay. So the mercy of the Lord can only be perceived when the devotee is free from the modes of material nature. Okay. Text 48. Kumaras continue. Persons who are very expert and most intelligent in understanding things as they are, engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation, to say nothing of other less important benedictions like material happiness and heavenly kingdoms. So here shows the change in Kumaras. They are saying they don't care even for liberation. Now, generally a Brahmavadi is someone who wants liberation, isn't it? But here Kumaras are saying that they don't even want liberation because they are absorbed in Krishna Katha. Kirtaniya, Tirtha, Yashasa. They are engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord. Okay, so in this purport, Prabhupada talks about there are four goals, Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. How people work for this only. Ultimately to satisfy their own purpose. Right. And when everything is done, they want Mukti. But of this, there are five kinds of liberation. But for a devotee, he doesn't care even for all this. He doesn't even want all this. We saw this verse. You all saw this verse? It came, right? Vinamat Sevanam Jana. It came already, right? No, not yet. Not yet. Sorry, it will come in future. Chapter 15. This, no. So then, for a devotee, he is not interested in any of this kind of liberation. Why? So a devotee is only interested in service to the Lord. Because what is the use of benefits without service? So the basically ideology of a devotee is that I don't want Krishna Mukti, I don't want Krishna living with you, living near you, having the same opulence of you, having the same bodily features as you, if there is no element of service. Krishna Das Abhiman Ye Ananda Sindhu Koti Brahma Sukanahe Tare Eka Bindu. This Abhiman, this conception that I am devotee, is I am Das of Krishna. That is the most pleasing Ananda Sindhu for a devotee. So he doesn't want any other benefits, whether it be any kinds of liberation also. So even any of the liberations or freedom from misery, if there is no service, is miserable. Okay, so generally, like I said, some people come to Krishna consciousness also with the conception that I want to be less miserable, free from miseries. But that will change over time. positively.
Right.
So Prabhupada talks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai's Samvad also. That the topmost thing ultimately is to hear about the activities of the Lord. This is considered, Prabhupada writes, at the end, very last line of the purport, one should engage himself in hearing from pure devotees about the activities of the Lord. That is considered the supreme benediction for mankind. So we have the good fortune, 2 years studying Vidyapit, just to listen to Krishna Leela, study about Krishna's pastime. It's not a waste of time. It is not a pass of time. It's a pastime, but it's not a passing of time or time pass. But it's actually the supreme benediction of mankind. Until and unless we actually accept this or understand this, then whatever we are doing feels very difficult. The daily 3 hours classes, following the rules, coming on time, attending Mangalarti, Guru Puja, studying, serving, will become very tough. Until we understand and realize that, my God, getting to hear and study and read Bhagavatam is the greatest benediction. Then they continue, text 49. Mukti. Yeah, this mukti is freedom from... Which paragraph? Oh, it's only one paragraph. Oh, translation. Ah, yeah, yeah. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation. So this is, this mukti is sayuja, which is Brahman, which for devotees is supposed to be like hell, hellish. Kaivalya narakayate. That even kaivalya, that mukti is hellish. Because there is a tinge of, well, there is no element of service. It means I am just happy in my own world. I am free. Leave me alone. Five kinds of mukti, including sayujya mukti. That means one is sayujya, which is Brahman, Brahman realization. Then samipya, which is staying near the Lord. Then sarupya, which is having the same form of the Lord. Salokya, living in the same planet as the Lord. Shrashti, which means having the same opulence as the Lord. Like that. So this sayuja is mukti. Better than the other three, but still material. It's like, and that's what the jnanis go after. Escape from the material world. The fire of the material world is too much. Let me get out. But that escapist mentality is also not a devotional mentality. That's why Mahaprabhu has talked about the Panchama Purushartha, the fifth Purushartha, Krishna Prem, Panchama Purushartha. Because four Purusharthas are there. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, they are all considered material. But the Panchama Purushartha is Prem, because there's an element of service. Actually, it's all about service only. Mukti is like escapists. Generally, we see if a person is lazy in his job, he doesn't want to work properly. He'll go to office late. He won't do his job properly. Any work given to him, I don't want. But if such a person even becomes a devotee, then won't he not carry the same tendencies? Someone gives you a backup which begins at 10:30. I'll go at 10:45. It's okay. I'll enter at 11. It's okay. You're supposed to wash and wind up everything. And then you might do something half and it's okay. So that mentality will creep in. So mukti is an escapist mentality. We are not here to escape. Devotees are not escapists. Text 49. Yeah. We'll come then in the next verse, the next chapter actually, chapter 16. We'll discuss about that. Within Sanat Kumaras and having this rasa, different rasas. You're talking about Sanat Kumaras and four Kumaras and this, isn't it? No. Nothing. All these rasas, these five rasas, predominant, we see that this Santaraj, Dasyaraj and all, they're all very wonderful in their own conception. Okay, they're all situated in the spiritual world. There's nothing wrong with them. Even in Goloka, they're all present. We will discuss them in the next chapter, because Kumaras also will have this issue over this. This will be discussed in relation to the Kumaras. This is not same as the Mukti. Five same Muktis. Because even in Vaikuntha, there is various species. Not everyone looks like Vishnu. There's others with different forms also. Not everyone will look for arm form like Vishnu. Not all residents of Vaikuntha looks like that. Those who get the benediction, right, then they will look the same. Yeah, Brihat Bhagavat Mrit. So there you'll find birds. Not all birds are forearm form flying around. Right. Humans also, different. They have different forms. You have localized aspect of Ganesh, different demigods. But they're all Vaishnavas in pure potencies. They're also in Vaikuntha. Like that. So, text 49. We pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. Our words are made beautiful by speaking of your activities, just as tulasi leaves are beautified when offered to your lotus feet. As long as our ears are always filled with chanting your transcendental qualities. So here Kumara's aspiration is seen, that they don't mind even if they get lower birth, as long as they can do shravan and kirtan of the Lord. As long as our mouths and our ears are engaged, we are happy. So this is the aspiration of Kumaras. They don't mind even getting lower species, hellish birth. So they're speaking like this because they are realizing their mistake. There's a mood of repentance here. Okay? So therefore they are praying like this. So Prabhupada in the purport talks the same thing. Then he talks a bit about tulasi leaf also. So he says in second paragraph, in the middle, Prabhupada says, the example is given here of tulasi leaves. Tulasi leaf is very useful even from a medical or antiseptic point of view. So we don't use tulasi for medicine, but even from that point of view it is very useful, Prabhupada is saying. It is considered sacred and is offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. The tulasi leaf has numerous good qualities, but if it were not offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, tulsi could not be much value or importance. Similarly, one may speak very nicely from the rhetorical or grammatical point of view, which may be very appreciated by materialistic audience. But if one's words are not offered to the service of the Lord, they are useless. The holes of the ears are very small, can be filled with any insignificant sound. So how can they receive as great a vibration as the glorification of the Lord? The answer is that the holes of the ears are like the sky. As the sky can never be filled up, the quality of the ear is that as such that one may go on pouring in vibrations of various kinds, yet it is capable of receiving more and more. So there's no saturation. A devotee is not afraid of going to hell if he has the opportunity to hear the glories of Lord constantly. So eating prasad has a limit. Right? But speaking about Krishna, especially hearing about Krishna, has no limit. The ears are always open. So we can always hear about Krishna. Prabhupada said, this is the advantage of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One may be put into any condition, but God gives him the prerogative to chant Hare Krishna. In any condition of life, if one goes on chanting, he will never be unhappy. So if you are feeling unhappy while chanting, how? Sometimes it happens. We are chanting Hare Krishna, doing everything, but today I just feel unhappy. That means what? Maybe my chanting is not good. not no taste. That is there. But maybe I was not attentive in my chanting. That's why maybe I'm not feeling. Of course, then one more thing is that we should not expect, like we are supposed to please Krishna, give pleasure to Krishna. Not that by chanting, Krishna is going to please me. Right? Chanting Hare Krishna and expecting pleasure. Is it right or wrong? Wrong. Right. We know that it's a byproduct. That if I please Krishna, when Krishna is pleased, everyone is pleased. So automatically as a byproduct, I'll become pleased. Right? In the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj gives this analogy. He says, when you're praying, why do we pray to the Lord? We pray to the Lord not to benefit the Lord. The Lord has already everything. People pray to the Lord only to benefit themselves. Yata Mukashri. Just when a person decorates his face, automatically when you look in the mirror, the reflection is also decorated. So when the object is decorated, the image is also decorated. So similarly, when the object is satisfied, Krishna is the object. When Krishna, Vishaye, Vigraha, when he is satisfied, automatically the reflection, parts and parcels are also decorated, happy. Krishna is pleased, the reflections are also pleased. One should understand jivas are part and parcels of Krishna. It's like if I take a big mirror, big glass mirror, and I drop it down and break it into a million pieces. Chote chote tukde. Correct? So these are like the million infinite jivas. And if I take a beautiful object and I carry it, all the mirrors, you can see the beautiful object? Whatever mirror that comes in contact with the object, it can be seen. So jiva is all like small, small pieces of mirrors. Reflection of the Supreme Lord in a small quantity. It cannot see the image fully. As I said, dekhna padega, to see the image. But it has the potency to reflect that beauty of the Lord in a small part. So the good qualities that you see in everything and everyone is nothing but a reflection of the Supreme Lord. Bhagavad Gita says the same thing. Yat yat vibhuti mat sattvam shrimat urjitam evava tat tat evavagacchatvam mama tejo amsha sambhava. 10.41 or 42, 41 I think. Anyways, 42, 10.42. So, that is the position of the jiva. So here also they are saying the same thing. So, when we have a difficulty in chanting, we are not happy, we should think, maybe my chanting is not attentive. Last text of the chapter. O Lord, we therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto your eternal form as the personality of Godhead, which you have so kindly manifested before us. Your supreme eternal form cannot be seen by the unfortunate, less intelligent persons. But we are so much satisfied in our mind and vision to see it. So Prabhupada writes here in this purport. The four sages were impersonalists in the beginning. This impersonalist means Brahmavadi, not Mayavadi. Okay? Brahmavadis. But afterwards, by the grace of their father and spiritual master, Brahma, they understood the eternal spiritual form of the Lord and felt completely satisfied. In other words, the transcendentalists who aspire to the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma are not fully satisfied and still hanker for more. This is similar to the verse Atma Ramas Cha Munayo. Remember, you had to recite in your shloka exam. So that everyone, even this so-called Atma Ramas, the transcendentalists, they are also still attracted to Krishna. But as soon as such persons come to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are satisfied in all respects. In other words, they become devotees and want to see the form of the Lord continually. It is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita that one who has developed transcendental love for Krishna by smearing his eyes with the ointment of love, Premanjana Churita, sees constantly the eternal form of the Lord. Like that. Okay. So thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 3rd canto, 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Descriptions of the Kingdom of God. Now, in the next chapter, the Lord is going to speak. So before that, before we take a short break, some things we'll discuss about this, what's happening here. So we are going to see the issue of two devotees fighting. We're going to see the importance of Vaishnavas in this verse. Some important questions generally people ask. Maybe you have asked Gauranga Shanpu, maybe he has explained, I don't know. Generally people ask, how did the Kumaras come into Vaikuntha if they are not devotees? So how? Yogis? Yeah, but Vaikuntha is a realm only for devotees. So they were not devotees. They entered Vaikuntha and they became devotees. So how is it possible? So actually this pastime is orchestrated by the Lord, just like our Parikshit pastime, you know, where suddenly he felt thirsty, hungry, and he put the snake. So that Purport Prabhupada writes, Sim, this pastime is also orchestrated by the Lord. In our class one time, Radheshambhu was saying that actually it is not possible for anyone to enter Vaikuntha unless they have a devotional mentality. You cannot enter Vaikuntha. So how Kumaras enter, is it? It is just to, because they want to show these glories of Vaishnavas. So Radheshambhu was saying that sometimes even in our altar, we allow wiremen and carpenters to enter. The pujari is there, not wearing shirt, and in uttari, and he's careful not to enter. But the wireman in pants, shirt, sometimes a Muslim carpenter comes in to do measurement for the altar. So what do you say? Allow, na? You allow, come do measurement and go. So he said, just like that, they came in for some time and went. In text chapter 16, we'll see a few verses which mentioned that the Lord came to the seventh door of Vaikuntha. So that means actually they didn't really enter. They were at the doorstep. The seventh gate, Jay and Vijay were outside. So one more reason why they could not enter. So like that, some things to keep in mind. Second thing is, one should not look down on the Kumaras. They are parampara acharyas. They are great personalities. So we respect them, but we learn from the mistake. We learn from the small mistake of Jay and Vijay, but immediately they understood their mistake. They fell at the feet of Kumaras. We will see the little mistake of Kumaras in becoming angry and cursing, forever losing fame, as they themselves said. They'll become infamous now. But their mistake was that they became reactive. They were not responsive. We studied this in Radheshambhu's seminar. What's the difference between reactive and responsive? Reactive is impulsive, immediately blow out. Responsive means there's a pause. So, what is it? Proactive. So basically, the Jay and Vijay were proactive. They stopped. They didn't do anything. But Kumaras immediately responded. Although they thought about it, but they should not have spoke. So their offense was even more greater. Now we will take just a 5 minutes break. And then we'll continue with chapter 16. Okay, we won't finish it, don't worry. It's a very long chapter. Tomorrow also I'm coming, so we'll take just some verses. Okay? Hare Krishna. So, Brahmo Vacha Iti Tat Granatam Tesham Muninam Yoga Dharminam Pratinandya Jagadedam Vikunta Nilayo Viboho. So the Kumaras had spoken very sorrowful, remorseful words, and now the Supreme Lord is going to reply to their words. Text 2 onwards. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Etau Tau Parshadau Mayam Jayo Vijaya Evacha Kadarti Kartyamam Yadvo Bahua Kratam Atikramam.
The personality of Godhead said, these attendants of mine, Jaya and Vijay by name, have committed a great offense against you because of ignoring me.
So from this verse also, one beautiful verse, word is used by the Lord. Parshadav mayam. Certainly, these two persons are my parshads. They are my associates. At the same time, in the fourth line, he uses the word atikramam. They have committed an offense. So this is the amazing thing, the nature of the Lord, to consider an offender as his parshad. Generally, someone who has been criminal, what criminal is it? In someone who has been labeled, incriminated. Someone who has been incriminated, that means who has been labeled a criminal. Generally, it's very embarrassing to have a person with him. Right, you don't want to introduce, oh, he's my brother, he has been to jail for 20 years. You don't want to say like that. But here the Lord is the ability of the Lord to accept even offenders as his own. So this is the magnanimity of the Lord. Beautiful purports in all this section about Vaishnava Parad and so on and so forth. So first paragraph, Prabhupada writes, to commit an offense at the lotus feet of a devotee of the Lord is a great wrong. When a living entity is promoted to Vaikuntha, there is still the chance that he may commit offenses. Important line. Highlight it, remember it, save it. That even if a living entity is promoted to Vaikuntha, there is still a chance that he may commit offenses. But the difference is that when one is in Vaikuntha planet, even if by chance one commits an offense, he is protected by the Lord. So protected means how? Abhijay Vijay, they send to material world, take three births in asuras. What protection is there? Consciousness. So situation may differ, situation may change, but consciousness is protected. That's what a devotee wants ultimately. Yeah, they become demons. They are constantly remembering the Lord. Demons. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu were totally conscious, Krishna conscious. In the sense, they were always Lekamsa, for example. Right. His glory is that he is always Krishna conscious. In a negative way. But that itself, that is what earned him liberation. So even Hiranyakashipu, 24 hours constantly thinking of Krishna. So that section Prabhupada says that you have two options. Ultimately, we have to be Krishna conscious. You have to think about Krishna. So you can think about Krishna favorably or think of Krishna unfavorably. But whatever the situation, you have to be absorbed. The danger about unfavorable is that until you are 100% totally absorbed in hating Krishna, that means you're Krishna conscious. Thoda sa kami, then you are not 100%, then material nature will whack you because you are offend the Lord. But that also you will get what? Sayuja only, impersonal. So considering all this, better to think of Krishna favorably. Better try to remember Krishna favorably. But Krishna is such a person, so potent. These verses will come later. That Gopya Kama, today even Prabhupada spoke the same verse actually in his class. That one can remember Kamso Bhayat, that out of fear Kamsa was there, gopis out of their attraction for Krishna, like that. So all of this way, different ways that one is absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But better to be absorbed favorably. One of these two only. Yeah, so Acharya has explained that first he went to Sayujya, then after that, from there he went back to Godhead. So they are parshad, eternal parshads. So, Prabhupada writes in the first paragraph also, the word atikramam here indicates offending a devotee. Indicates that in offending a devotee, one neglects the Supreme Lord. So when we do Vaishnava Parad, when we offend a devotee, actually we are neglecting the Lord. How? Neglect is different from offense, na? Offense means right now I'm insulting, let's say, Gaurachandra Bhagwan Prabhu. But how am I neglecting Bhagwan? Neglect means? Upekha. Upekha, don't bother. But offense, how is it by offending a devotee you're neglecting God? Because when we are offending someone, we are not seeing his relationship with Krishna. That means we have neglected Krishna. Because if we realize, oh my God, here is a Jivatma, part and parcel of Krishna, he is also a Krishna Das. Jiva by constitution is pure. If I don't see that, that means I'm neglecting his contact with Krishna. I'm neglecting that Krishna aspect of him. And I just offend him. So, offending a devotee, one neglects the Supreme Lord. Like that. Prabhupada writes, next paragraph. By mistake, the doorman held the sages from entering Vaikuntha Loka. But because they were engaged in transcendental service to the Lord, their annihilation was not expected by advanced devotees. Right. Because they were serving, so they won't be destroyed. The Lord's presence on the spot was very pleasing to the hearts of the devotees. The Lord understood that the trouble was due to his lotus feet not being seen by the sages. Therefore, he wanted to please them by personally going there. He understood that they came to see him, so they couldn't see, they became angry. So Lord said, chalo, I'll come and show you darshan. The Lord is so merciful that even if there is some impediment for a devotee, he himself manages matters in such a way that the devotee is not bereft of having his audience of his lotus feet. So the Lord is so merciful that if a practitioner is sincere in his practice, the Lord will somehow or other help him to come to him. So this somehow or other how the Lord will help, that we cannot determine. It may not always be favorable also. How the Lord helps, we never know. Right? It is not that, oh, if Krishna gives me a nice hot food to eat, if Krishna gives me a nice place to stay, Krishna gives me nice money, facilities, that means Krishna loves me. No, not necessarily. So how Krishna, in what way he will manage matters, we do not know. Right. Then in the next purport, Prabhupada compares with the life of Haridas Thakur. Okay. Haridas Thakur could not go to Jagannath temple, could not see the Lord. But the Lord arranged in such a way that every day he'll get the darshan of Mahaprabhu. Right. So next text, text 3. Yastvetor dardro dando bhavadbir mamanuvratehi saeva numatosmabir munayo deva helanat.
O great sages, I approve of the punishment that you who are devoted to me have meted out to them.
So the Lord here is saying that I approve of the punishment that you have given to them. I approve of it. Chakratipat says, beginning from the earlier verse, text 2, for the next 11 verses, the Lord is basically trying to console the Kumaras. Don't become afraid. Because the Kumaras now are feeling bad. That I offended him, now the big boss came, and I realized that I have offended only who? The devotees of the Lord. My God. So the Kumaras are feeling bad. We have committed Vaishnaparat. So the next few verses, the Lord is just trying to console the Kumaras. Don't feel bad. Don't worry. This punishment that you give, I approve of it. Don't worry. Don't worry. Calming them down. Okay. So he says, Munayo Deva Helanat. They have done offense to me. Helanat. Deva Helanat. So all these next verses that we are going to see is how, in which ways the Lord is just trying to please the Kumaras. Trying to console the Kumaras. Don't be worried. So kind Lord. So text 4 we see. Tadva prasadyami adya Brahma daivam paramhime Taditya kritam manye Yat svapumbira sadkrita.
To me, the Brahmana is the highest and most beloved personality. The disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by myself. Therefore, I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen.
So here the Lord is saying, something like appears quite extreme. He's saying that the fault of my people actually my mistake. So I am taking the responsibility and I am telling, I am seeking forgiveness from this. Right? I gave you that example of the guest coming in and the security person stopping him. The guest got angry with the security and he got angry with the reception person. Immediately they give a, the word goes to the general manager, the GM. Immediately he comes down, like how Lord Vishnu rushed. So he also came down. And immediately he said, I'm sorry. Because he took responsibility of his person. So this is, the Lord is showing a very powerful lesson in leadership. That when things go wrong, you take responsibility. That it's also my responsibility. Share the responsibility. But when things go right and there is success, then you share the credit with others. But when things go wrong, immediately you say it's my fault. My man means my fault. Isn't it? So here Jay and Vijay did a mistake. The Lord felt it very personal. I did it. They are my servitors. So he says a verse glorifying Brahmanas. Brahma Daivam Paramhime. The Brahmanas are most beloved personalities. So from this section on, Acharyas as well as Prabhupada in this purport clarifies that Brahmanas here doesn't mean Smarta Brahmanas. Brahmanas here means Vaishnavas. So here's a glory of, when they say Brahmanas in this section, it means devotees, Vaishnavas. So even Chakratipad in his purport, he would quote a verse from Padma Puran. Sapacho eva. That even if a person is a chandala, but if he's a Vaishnava, no, sorry. That even if a person is a Brahmana, but he has no bhakti, then one should disregard him like a chandal, like a swapacha, like a chandala. That even if he's a Brahmana, but if he has no bhakti, so the lakshan of even a Brahmana to be Brahmanical is he should have devotion. So same thing Prabhupada writes here. A so-called Brahmana who is born in the family of Brahmanas, but perform activities aimed against the Vaishnavas, cannot be accepted as a Brahmana. He is known as Avaishnava. Because Brahmana means Vaishnava. And Vaishnava means Brahmana. So Brahman means he should be favorable to Vishnu. And a Vaishnava means he should have Brahmanical qualities. A Brahmana means he should be favorable to Vishnu. That's why a Brahmana is a Vaishnava. And a Vaishnava means he should have Brahmanical qualities. One who has become a devotee of the Lord is also a Brahmana. Prabhupada is saying this. Okay, so basically that is the line. So it's not the caste Brahmanical. Brahmanas they are talking here. Text 5. Yannamani chagrnati loko vritye kritagasi. So sadhu vadastat kirtim hanti tvacham ivamaya.
A wrong act committed by a servant leads people in general to blame his master, just as a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all of the skin.
So in text 4, the Lord is saying, it is my mistake, I am sorry. In text 4, the Lord is saying, I am sorry, it is my mistake, that he is the one who offended the Kumaras. So generally when a person does mistake, he wants punishment. So Chakratipat says, that Vishnu is asking Kumaras, now you punish me. Kumara Singh, kaise? How can we punish you, my Lord? You are Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who can punish you? Then the Lord says this verse in text 5. That infamy alone is the greatest punishment. So I'm already punished because now I'm infamous. So he says, just like a wrong act committed by a servant leads people to blame the master. So now I've lost, I've become infamous. That means I'm already been punished. This is how I'll be punished. Just like a white spot on the skin, everyone say, hey, look, he has leprosy. White leprosy. So then Prabhupada says, understanding this, there is a caution for all of us. End of the purport. A devotee should always see that his Vaishnava qualities increase with the advancement of his Krishna consciousness. A devotee should be blameless Because any offense by the devotee is a scar, heavy word, eh? Is not a mark, is not a blemish. It's a scar on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotee's duty is to always be conscious in his dealings with others, especially with another devotee of the Lord. So, just like I gave you that example, that person, that ex-Navy person who came, right? What was the blasphemy that he was shouting to the devotees? You are people, devotee, Bhagawan ka aadmi, Bhagawan ka log, Bhagawan nahi jante kya, aisa kar sakte. Why? Ultimately, he sees them as representatives. So, a mistake on our side, immediately who gets blamed? Krishna. Krishna gets blamed. So, a devotee should be careful that we become blameless. So, we should not do anything that will upset people. Even book distribution, Prabhupada says, you should know the art of distributing without irritating. You should know how to distribute without irritating. So, anything we do, kirtans, sankirtan, we should know, Harinam Sankirtan also, we should know how to not to irritate people. We should be sensitive to the pulse of society and don't irritate people. If someone is coming so heavy, then better just to back off. No, Prabhu, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. We will fight. That is very immature, actually. We do kirtan on train sometimes. You will see around you, people are favorable or not. People are sleeping, people are resting. And you ching, 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 ching on their ears. Already, we go half deaf, we make people deaf. It's quite... Another extreme is, we won't do anything. Keep quiet. That's another extreme. So, no extremes. Neither this nor that. Test the pulse of society. Sometimes you do kirtan, people appreciate, they like it. It's better to be pleasing. Pleasing is in between. Don't do anything is very dull. Do too much is very aggressive, passionate. Actually, it's very painful even. So better to be mild. Devotee quality, mridu. So devotee should be careful in their dealings. So Vaishnava etiquette in this sense is not just a detail. Vaishnava etiquette is a ornament, Sadhu Bhushan. Pune, Radheshampuru has a camp, Sadhu Bhushan camp, training devotees in Vaishnava etiquette. Like we have Vaishnava characteristics, Vaishnava character classes in the evening, Gauranga Shambhu gives. Why? Because Vaishnava etiquette is not just a detail. Oh yes, oh Vaishnava should respect, oh Vanchakalpa, oh Vaishnava, no, but it's actually an ornament of a devotee. Text 6. Therefore, they say very beautiful verse. The Lord is saying, Yasya amrita malaya sha shravanavagaha. Sadhya punati jagad ashva pachad vikunta. Soham bhavadbhya upalabdhya sutirta kirtes. Chindhyam swabahum api va pratikula vrittim.
Anyone in the entire world, even down to the chandala, who lives by cooking and eating the flesh of the dog, is immediately purified if he takes bathe in hearing through the ear the glorification of my name, fame, etc. Now you have realized me without doubt. Therefore, I will not hesitate to lop off my own arm if its conduct is found hostile to you.
So, this Shravana, this Yasya Amrita, this nectar, this Amala, it's uncontaminated of what? The Lord's Yasha, the Lord's glories. If one does Shravana, if one hears, right? It is so powerful, Punati Jagat. It can purify the entire universe. So the Lord is saying that therefore I do not hesitate to cut off my own arm if it's found hostile against the Brahmanas. He's glorifying the devotees. That if I had transgressed to a devotee, I'm willing to even cut off my own hand. So the first extreme thing we saw that the Lord is saying that it is my mistake, I am sorry. Second thing the Lord is saying that even if I'm found hostile, I'm willing to cut off my own hand. Although he can purify the entire universe. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Real purification can take place in human society if its members take to Krishna consciousness. So real purification means taking up Krishna consciousness. Anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness in all sincerity, even if he is not very advanced in good behavior, is purified. So sometimes people say, Arey Prabhuji, dekho, ye 20 saal ka bhakt hai, lekin still so gusa hai. You know, he's a 20-year-old devotee, yet still he's so bitter. Why is he like this? So everyone has their baggage. Everyone has their time. Right? Everyone is going through the process of purification. Someone gets admitted into the hospital for viral fever. Somebody gets admitted into the hospital for cancer. So ISKCON is the hospital. Someone comes with a little mild disease. Someone comes with an extra disease. A person with cancer is expected to stay longer than a person with viral fever. Correct? So Prabhupada says that even if he is not very advanced in good behavior, still can be purified. A devotee can be recruited from any section of human society. Very important. A devotee can be recruited from any section of human society. Although it is not expected that everyone in all segments of society is well behaved. So this we have to understand. We are plucking flowers from the jungle. We are plucking flowers from different areas. Some flowers are nice, some flowers have thorns like roses. Right? So different flowers you're plucking, putting into the bag, the cane basket to offer to the Lord. Different kinds of flowers. Some smell sweet. Some, if you pluck the flowers, they give out some sticky ooze. They may hurt you. So many different kinds of flowers we are plucking from different segments of society. Not all have become well-behaved. But Prabhupada says a devotee can be recruited from any section of society. Prabhupada's broad-mindedness, magnanimous. Okay. Skip a few lines down. Prabhupada talks about this chandal, dog eater, and Vaishnava. In other words, one sentence begins like that. In other words, a Vaishnava should not be evaluated in terms of his body. So in Nectar Instruction also we saw this. Right? Just like Ganga, one doesn't see Ganga externally, that it has bubbles, dirt and all. So similarly, one should not also judge Vaishnavas. The Shastra states that no one should think of the deity in the temple to be made of wood or stone. No one should think that a person coming from a lower class caste family who has taken to Krishna consciousness is still low caste. Vaishnava jati buddhi, they say like that. These attitudes are forbidden because anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness is understood to be fully purified. He is at least engaged in the process of purification. Powerful. It is to be understood that one who has taken to Krishna consciousness is purified or at least engaged in the process of purification. That means you may say he is not purified now. If I tell you that, oh Prabhu, he may come from so and so background, but he is now a devotee. He is purified. Kya purified hai? Waisa aisa kar rahe kar rahe. Theek hai. At least he is engaged in the process of purification. And Prabhupada says, if he sticks to the principles of Krishna consciousness, he will very soon become purified. In the words of Gurudas Prabhu, barbarians became Brahmanas. Prabhupada turned barbarians, Adivasis, barbarians into Brahmanas. So the conclusion is that Prabhupada says, if one takes to Krishna consciousness with all seriousness, in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada says one should take Krishna consciousness with all sincerity. And now at the end of the purport, he closes it with Prabhupada says that everyone should take Krishna consciousness with all seriousness. He began the purport, take Krishna consciousness sincerely. He ends the purport, take it seriously. So both are important. One should be sincere and serious and simple. Very interesting. So the Lord is ready to give protection, willing to cut his own arm just to give protection. That is the Lord. Yeah. That means a devotee can come from lower caste, higher caste, Vedic background, non-Vedic background, whatever. But one should also have that practicality. One should also be real to understand that not everyone from all practices or all walks of life will be, will behave properly. I give you an example. There's an island called Bali in Indonesia. 90% of the people in Bali in Indonesia are Hindus. These are not the Indian Hindus that you will think of. They are local people from that region. By religion, they are Hindus because of, what's his name? Raja Chola, Rajendra Chola, the king who came and crossed his empire all over Southeast Asia. So they became Hindus. But they are local people, local skin, local body, like that. So their concept of Hinduism is no form of the Lord, worship just like that, very impersonalist. None of them are vegetarian. Their main cause of eating is pig. Pork, pig, wild boar. If you go in any street in Bali, you will see a pig this big rolling on a flame in public. And if you ask them, they are Hindus. They are the only country in the world which has Mahabharat statues, Ghatogaja statues in the city. Huge, Arjun. But anywhere, any alley you go, you will see pig. So we have 7 temples in Bali, ISKCON temples. Very big temples. We have 7 big temples in Bali. And so many local devotees, they become devotees. So many local people, they become devotees. But from a culture which was born and brought up with eating that kind of non-veg, that kind, you saw the Varaha episode, Prabhupada said, of all animals, pig is the worst. So even of all the options of non-veg, this is the worst. So such a people, now if they become devotees, still they are very much craving for soy product. To become purely vegetarian, shakahari, purely, very difficult. Can we blame them? What do you think? You understand now their struggle? Tough, na? So anyone who goes to that country, any sannyasi go, they'll be like, why everything's... Janmashtami means some soy item, maybe soy, like, oh. And soy item means they make mock fish, mock chicken, mock this. I was once with Kavichandra Maharaj in Bali. So Kavichandra Maharaj was giving class. You know Kavichandra Maharaj, na? The senior Prabhupada disciple. Kavichandra Maharaj is very frank. He's, most of him are his disciples. Why don't you just go and eat meat? He got angry, you know. Why are you having all these things? So whenever Maharaj comes, they don't cook in the temple. And Maharaj goes, then they... But one has to actually think. So someone coming from maybe a Brahmana family in India, Vaishnav family, like, yeah, soya, ugh. No taste, disgusting, how? But that's why Prabhupada says, one cannot expect that every... what is that? Every segments of society will be well behaved. World, everyone, even in our society, someone may be brought up in Bombay with that culture, then he's as good as those people only. Usme kya hai? Correct. Even in this, our current situation also, we see people like that. Someone coming from Bombay also may be very Brahmanically trained. And similarly, someone coming from even the best states of the world, of India, can become very so materialistic. So whatever segments mean doesn't mean only that country or this country. Segment means anywhere, in any pocket of society. There'll always be people who have heavy baggage. We call it heavy baggage. So they take some time. But Prabhupada said it's still possible. And we should not deny them. Like that. Like, how open are you all to seeing a devotee who came from prison? Like, for example, a person did some crime, entered the prison, he's a prisoner, and then in the prison he became a devotee. Now he comes out of the prison. How comfortable will you be, honestly? A person who has done rape, a person who has done murder. And he's a Vaishnava now. Prison preaching. In my country, so we know one devotee, initiated devotee. He's on death row. Because his thing was, he entered one goldsmith shop to rob the shop and he killed everyone. Slashed and killed guard, owners, family and everything. And that family who owns the goldsmith shop, right? They are not devotees, but their relative is a devotee. And this person killed that whole family. And now both of them are in the same yatra. The same yatra means, sorry, the same center. After he comes out. So he got initiated through a letter also. He was supposed to be hanged for murdering, of course. But he was, after he became a devotee by reading Prabhupada books and associating with devotees, you do a lot of prison preaching programs. So he really became very remorseful, became vegetarian in the jail, everything, all follow chanting, like 64 rounds a day, everything like that. Then finally, when the letter came from the king of my country, that he would be to be pardoned. He wrote back that, "I don't want to be pardoned. I'm very sinful. I read in Prabhupada books that if I do not suffer for my sins in this life, I'll get a bad birth. So I want to be hanged. Please hang me." But then the devotees, they asked the spiritual master and all. The spiritual master said, "If you have given a chance to live, you should live and serve Krishna. If you're given a chance to live, you should live and serve Krishna." So because the order of spiritual master, then he comes out. And now he has to mix in society, in devotee. How comfortable people, how honestly will we be comfortable? Him, yeah. Tough, na? So like, so anyone from any section of society, are we willing to accept? This is the broad-mindedness of Krishna conscious movement. Not easy. But so Prabhupada says, Vaishnava should not be evaluated in terms of his body. So everyone has their own Veda Buddhi, you know? Like for some people, non-veg people are difficult to deal with because your whole life you have been vegetarian. For some other people, non-Indians are difficult to deal with. For some people, North Indians are difficult to deal with, South Indians are difficult to deal with. For South Indians, North Indians are difficult to deal with. Everyone has their Veda Buddhi, correct? Everyone has their thing. So in whatever level it is, like the worst sin in a prison is rape. All the prisoners, even if he has murdered 20 people, if a person, if a rapist comes in the prison, ye sabse khatarnak aadmi hai. They look at him like the worst. The rapist say, "Ali, are yaar. You murdered people." So everyone has their Veda Buddhi. We don't have prison preaching, yeah? This is a reason. No prison only. Okay. Book distribution. In prison? Oh, okay. Very tough, no? It takes a lot of you. Entering prison and coming out, no? 2 days you have to recover. So negative. 7. Okay. So the Lord said then, another extreme, he says, Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renum. Sadhya shata kilamalam pratilabdha shilam. Na shrir viraktam api mam vijahati yasya. Prekshala varta itare niyaman vihanti.
The Lord continued, "Because I am the servitor of my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin, and I have acquired such a disposition that the goodness of fortune does not leave me. Even though I have no attachment for her, and others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor."
Another extreme statement of the Lord. First statement, he's saying that I'm sorry, I'm my mistake. Second thing, he's saying that I'm willing to cut off my hand. Third thing, he's saying that because I serve my devotees, therefore, I got the power to do 2 things. The first power I have is that I can purify the entire universe. Right. I have the power. My lotus feet have become powerful because I'm serving the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Second thing he says, that because of serving the devotees, I have got such good qualities that even Lakshmi doesn't want to leave me. So 2 things he's saying. By serving the Vaishnava, Krishna has become purifying. Krishna has got the ability to purify. And because of that, he has got good qualities that Lakshmi doesn't want to leave him. What do you think? True? So these are all exaggerated statements the Lord is saying out of emotion. Okay? But we'll see in the future. So that's what the purport also Prabhupada writes. That the greatness of the Lord is actually due to his affection. If you want to see what is so great about Krishna, it is his affection for his devotees. That is what great about him. Okay? And that's the only reason Lakshmi actually doesn't leave him. Not because Lakshmi is attracted by his money or something so much, but he's attracted by his affection. Then, text 8, one more greatness. So the Lord says, I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrifices in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths, which are the same as the with the same relish as I do delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmanas who have dedicated to me the results of their activities and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. So the Lord is saying that I enjoy more eating through the mouth of devotees than through yagya. Sumit is not here, no? Sumit Shastri every day doing yagya. So Krishna is saying that I enjoy more eating through the mouth of my pure devotees, delicacies which are overflowing with ghee. Devotees may not enjoy too much ghee, but Krishna is saying I enjoy this. Right. So, we saw in chapter 14, purpose of feeding Brahmanas, right? Remember the purport? Why Grahasthas do Brahman Bhoj? Why Grahasthas feed or serve the renunciants, brahmacharis and all? You remember? Why? By delivering them from their difficulties, the Grahasthas also become delivered from their difficulties. Second thing, by helping them, that's how they advance. Okay? Okay. So, we'll take one more verse, then we'll end with the last verse. So, the Lord speaks. I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy, and the water of Ganges is the remnants left after my feet are washed. So this is the greatness of the Lord. The water sanctifies the three worlds along with Shiva, who bears it on his head. So the Lord is saying that I am the master of Yoga Maya, and I am the master of Ganges, which purifies even the three worlds and Shiva also. Then he says, if I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava on my head, Chakravartipat says, as he's saying this, he's pointing to his head with his finger. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas on my head, who will refuse to do the same? So the Lord is saying, if I can do it, why not you? Basically, if I can be this humble, why not you? So this is the real opulence of the Lord. Right. So the Prabhupada writes the last line of the paragraph. When the Lord himself offers so much respect to the Vaishnava and the Brahmanas, how can one deny to respect such personalities? Someone says respect the devotee. Why should respect? Because the Lord also respects so much. So Lord Chakravartipat saying, as he's saying this, he's pointing to his head. So the Lord is saying, I get all my power because of this. Actually, the segment comes... Okay, I think we'll end here only. Okay, then other things is purports to discuss. So we'll end with chapter text 9. Tomorrow onwards we'll take 10 and so forth. Okay? So we'll the next few verses also the Lord speaks. He compares all these things. So we'll just stop here.